Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thank you very much indeed for joining me this morning. Awful lot to talk about this morning, including, of course, that just absolutely horrific story about this Tory MP being held on suspicion of rape. The politician has been questioned by the Metropolitan Police and has been held overnight, we understand. Lots more details coming out, but that MP has not yet been named. I'm going to be asking you this morning to get in touch on Twitter or on text. You can tweet me at TalkTV. You can text on 87222. Put the word talk at the beginning of your message. And I'm asking, as a Tory MP has been arrested on suspicion of rape and sexual offences. What needs to be done to restore our faith in our politicians? I mean, no one's saying that everybody at Westminster is a sex pest. Absolutely far from it. But as case after case keeps coming up, what would you need to have done to restore your faith? Love to hear from you. Do get in touch at TalkTV is the best route to do it on Twitter. Let's introduce my guest joining me all this morning in the studio, and that's Tom Slater, who's editor of Spiked Online. Good morning to you.
Morning, Julia.
I genuinely was of the view yesterday we'd be talking quite a lot about Azovstal, Liz Truss, cost of living, but I think we do need to start with this story. Let's go through some of the details that we do know. A Tory MP, who's in his 50s, so male, you know, he has been arrested by the Metropolitan Police and has been questioned over accusations of rape, indecent assault, sexual assault, abuse of a position of trust and misconduct in public office. He was visited in his office on the parliamentary estate. The arrest took place elsewhere. The Chief Whip, Chris Heaton-Harris, has asked the MP to stay away from Westminster while police investigate. He does, though, keep the Tory whip and can be allowed to take part in debates as a representative of his constituency. Scotland Yard spokesman said the arrest was the result of a two-year investigation by the Met Central Specialist Crime Unit following a report it received in January 2020. And the alleged offences were committed between 2002 and 2009 in London. And it's just, I'd say, the latest in a series of sexual misconduct allegations, but I would say certainly the most serious. What was your reaction to this?
Well, it's such a shock. I mean, especially because of the fact that there's been a run of stories like this for the Tory party now, and I'm not lumping in Neil Parish and his weird tract of porn habits. I'm talking about the very serious allegations of sexual assault. Of course, this comes very close off of Imran Ahmed Khan being being again put on trial and found guilty in relation to sexual offences related to children, and it's
a 15-year-old boy,
I should say. And this is again, it opens up all sorts of questions. This the difficulty is, it's very easy to have kind of like knee-jerk responses to this. That you know, any MP who is has any allegations against them, they should be barred from Parliament. This, that, the third. I often feel like that kind of just gets away from the issues that we really need to talk about, which is the fact that these cases are horrific because they're so rare. That's what part of the reason why they're shocking.
It is new. I mean, thankfully, I mean, it should be news for a parliamentarian is arrested on such a serious charge. There'll be lots of demands. I mean, I've already seen on social media people say it's outrageous the Tory party haven't suspended him. This is a man who's he's not actually been charged with a crime yet, and he's certainly not been found guilty of a crime yet. You and I don't know what has or has not been done. Certainly on social media, names are swirling around. I'm told that I've been given a name that I'm told, I'm reliably told, is the person involved. Since this person will be unlikely to be able to turn up to PMQs today, lots of people have been narrowing down who this person is based on an MP who's still an MP now, who's a man who's in his 50s, who was also an MP during between 2002 and 2009, and therefore could have been could have faced an abuse of trust, position of trust and misconduct in public office charge. I mean, and the thing is, it actually narrows it down to under 10 MPs, and at that point you're basically libelling the other MPs because people are, you know, and the rumours going around about people who I'm told are definitely not those who've been arrested. There is a difficulty though. People do have a right. I mean, certainly the victims have a right to anonymity, and if an MP is named, there is also an issue of that the member of staff could be identified or identifiable. But then there's also a concern for people in his MP's constituency. If this man is, and this, we're not talking about an allegation of groping, I mean, that would be serious enough, but an allegation of rape and other sexual offences. Do we have a right to know who the MP is, simply as a matter of public safety?
It's so difficult, these issues, isn't it? Because as you say, there's all of these kind of concerns about people's safety, but there's also kind of concerns on the other side about making sure that this MP is able to have some kind of due process, isn't just kind of thrown forward to the court of public opinion. I mean, there was a recent case a couple of years ago, wasn't there, of an unnamed Tory MP facing very serious allegations. In the end, he wasn't actually charged.
And we saw that with a lot of, you know, the BBC DJs and lots of people being sued as a result of people's lives being totally devastated. And you can still take these issues seriously. Does it aid the justice process for the victim if someone is unable to get a fair trial?
I think it's really important that we just maintain those standards regardless of the situation, regardless of how passionate
you are. And answering the question we're putting out this morning to you, watching Talk TV or listening to Talk Radio, what needs to be done to restore our faith in our politicians? What would you say, Tom?
I'd say that this really probably isn't the core issue. These things are horrendous, but are we really going to suggest that this is kind of a symptom of the problem of our politics? I think that can just, again, kind of lead
that
to smearing all MPs.
That easy tabloid fodder as well.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. I think, you know, the issues with trust in politics go a lot deeper than the very serious allegations levelled at one particular
MP. Yeah, for me, things like, oh, we're going to have a referendum on Brexit, and then the majority of MPs in Parliament, whether they get their way or not, are going to try and overturn that referendum, which they did try to do before 2019. Mm-hmm. For me, that's a bigger issue, actually, and I'll never forgive a single MP who did that. And this is the thing. It's about us believing our MPs. There are going to be bad people in every office. Mm-hmm. If you look at the stats in terms of sexual assault and rape, every office will have somebody. They just haven't been arrested yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? People need to be a bit more realistic about that. Do you think that among our MPs there is a problem that's any worse than anywhere else?
It's so hard to tell, isn't it? And it's very easy just to kind of construct a narrative about people who are attracted to power, people who are attracted to a particular party, and risk and all that. Maybe there's something to that. But I think we can just go down the line of just kind of unnecessarily kind of casting aspersions at MPs, and I think that's not necessarily
lots to talk about in terms of cost of living. Of course, we had the Bank of England governor talking about catastrophic problems in terms of the cost of living, food prices. We've been focusing much on energy until recently. At 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to get the latest inflation figures. Could be around 9%, up from 7% at the last figures we had in looking at figures for March. Rishi Sunak yesterday was answering questions in the Treasury questions at the House of Commons under a lot of pressure, including from Tory MPs. There was a vote in the House of Parliament yesterday where Tory MPs en masse voted against a windfall tax on energy companies. I have no doubt at all in my mind that there will eventually be a windfall tax on energy companies, because the government has said there won't be. And that's how you know what government policy is going to be in a few months' time. They say they definitely won't do something, and then they do. Rishi Sunak also, we're told, is looking at, according to the Times front page, looking at two possible options for helping people with the cost of living. One is particularly targeted the warm homes discount. 3 million of the poorest households from October, they're going to get £150 off. That's not going to touch the sides of people's bills going up when it's really hurting. But they could be looking at up to £600 as a one-off payment. That would seriously help those who are most in need. Wouldn't, though, of course, help millions of other families that are also struggling, who've done, you could say, the right thing. Also, another option is cutting taxes in the autumn, maybe VAT or even 1p off income tax. What would you think about those measures?
I think that anything that can be done to take the burden off of people makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's difficult because the Tory party are particularly kind of wedded to these tax hikes that they've already made, and that would be a remarkable climb down even for them. You know, they tend to flip-flop on things.
You put national insurance up and then take income tax down. I mean,
what would be be the point. I mean, also, it's just the only thing you do feel for them to a certain extent is they do have a point when they say they're subject to much broader economic forces which aren't neatly fixed by a little payment here or a little tax.
Although it's interesting, the Mail today have gone for the Bank of England governor over him saying the governor was helpless in dealing with inflation. It could be at 9% today when it's supposed to only be there. Their one job is to keep inflation around 2%. But he's pointing out, 80% of these pressures are global. The Daily Mail, though, so that's why the Bank of England is helpless, because the staff there only have to go into the office one day a week.
I mean, this is a story that keeps repeating itself. You know, people working from home in the Foreign Office, where you're trying to get people out of Afghanistan. Yep. We're in the middle of this cost of living crisis again, inflation about to hit double figures, and you hear this, you just think something about the British state has gone horribly wrong. You can't run it from your kitchen table.
Apparently, the rest of Europe, they're back in their offices, which tells you something. I'm sure everyone's having a lovely day, game of croquet on their lawns, working at the Bank of England today in beautiful weather.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.